It was a surprise to open up some of the boxes in the Bergen House and go through them and find different things. It was a reminder of the history of our church here. There were some things that were stored away, including that little parrot and some other puppets and things that people have used here in the ministry of God's Word. It's a great reminder of those things that we have sometimes hidden away, but we find them, and it's through God's grace that we're blessed by them. And so you all here today, in being in this church, have been given the blessing of God to use your gifts and to guide young children into the kingdom, to help young adults, youth, to know God more closely, to worship Him, to be blessed by the Holy Spirit, and extending out into the community in different ways. And so all of us have reminders like this from God to use them and not store them away. Don't store them away in boxes, but keep them readily at hand to be able to bless other people and to be used. And we're thankful for the brothers and sisters in this church who for many years now, coming up on 34 years, have been attending this church and serving in this church and leading people to Christ in this church, worshiping together and in so many different ways. So praise the Lord. Let me just pray before we begin with the reading of God's Word again. Father, we do thank you for this church, and we thank you for every individual here. And we thank you, Lord, that you take us as individuals and you bring us into community. And that is actually not the invention of mankind. It is the it's not an invention, but it's your plan from the beginning, Lord, to show us that there is diversity in you, in your character, and also unity, that there's one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to touch our lives today, to move mightily among us in surprising ways, and so that we will feel your presence and that we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we just offer up this time to your hands. Please bless the words of my mouth, Lord, that they would be your words and your thoughts and your intentions for today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read a few verses that point out the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and especially in Jesus. You know, Jesus came into the world through the Holy Spirit into the womb of Mary. Remember, right? She began there. He came in the power of the Holy Spirit. She was pregnant with him through the power of the Holy Spirit working in her. And she was told by an angel that that would happen. And it's an amazing thing, but we see the Holy Spirit all through the Bible in different ways, and we just, you know, forget that the Holy Spirit always was at the beginning, at the creation of the world, before the world was created. So it's this powerful all and every moment, and you know, that we are encouraged by God to know about His Spirit working among us and living within us. So Jesus, when he came to the place where he was going to begin his ministry, he followed the path that John the Baptist made before him. John the Baptist came and said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And that was actually a prophecy in the Old Testament, and he brought it into fruition. God brought it into fruition through John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And of course, we know that that is talking about Jesus, that all flesh would see the salvation of God in him. But Jesus also was baptized, amazingly, by John the Baptist. He wanted it to be so until the time came for him to be crucified on the cross. The ultimate baptism was for him to die and be buried. as we remember in baptism, under the water, and then to come up in the resurrection. Right? And so before that, he allowed himself, through the Father's will, to be baptized by John the Baptist. And it says here that in chapter 3 of Luke, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Amazing moment in history when Jesus Christ was baptized and then received the Holy Spirit in this kind of a way. And it came in a form of a dove. Right? And so we have these symbols of Pentecost as well. As the flames, we have the dove coming down upon Jesus in that way. Later on, in chapter 4, it says in Luke, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit, in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And through the power of the Holy Spirit in him, he was able to overcome the temptation that Satan faced him with. And he had victory over that temptation." Great word. I've been thinking we need a message soon on temptation. Right? Temptation is something we all face. And Jesus was able to have victory in that temptation through the power of the Holy Spirit that was in him. And that was part of his ministry. He began in that way, but he allowed himself to be baptized. And then the Holy Spirit led him into the desert where he was tempted, just like human beings are tempted. Of course, he was tempted before that, but this is to show us the victory that we have through the power of Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit helps us in times of temptation. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. You know, that is something we face every single day. Temptation is ever with us. We need to claim the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us to have victory in those moments instead of saying, "Oh, I've done it again." Face it with the Holy Spirit. Right? Pray in those moments for that to be done. And so we also have, not far after this, and intentionally, Luke is writing these things in his gospel, that Jesus was in the temple. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is all in the span of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus there, and he comes out in that kind of way. And all three instances are through the will of the Father, the obedience of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit that was in him. And it was foretold in all those prophecies. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor," and that is what we do. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we proclaim good news to the poor, and we look for opportunities to find the poor and to proclaim the good news to them. We are reading through the Beatitudes this week, and it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And this kind of an attitude is taught to us as well. It's not only the poor people who are in poverty, or they have some kind of a life situation where they don't have enough money to live on. We're also talking about people who are poor in spirit that need Christ in their lives. And it's through the poorness of spirit that we go in humbleness to them and say, "We have the answer for your problem." Just as God came to us through other people in this church or other churches to tell us of the good news and to lead us to salvation and to tell us about the Holy Spirit working inside of us and helping us in our lives so that we're not in fear, no longer in fear, but in power and love and self-discipline. Things that grip us like a wrench or a screw that is meant to go into wood and to grip and to go into that kind of a way, and that is what the Spirit does. It screws into wood to make firm and make a strong foundation upon which our children and we build our lives. Nothing can shake it. Because God is almighty in power and his spirit lives within us. And that is the power of Pentecost that comes. We also remember that Jesus taught his disciples. I want to read a few verses in John. That also when he was speaking to his disciples later, when it came time for him to leave this earth and to ascend into heaven, I can only find the marker. It's okay. In John 14, it says, I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus said. I will come to you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Right? And he says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so this is the power of the Holy Spirit in us, to know that we are secure and not, we don't need to be afraid because we have the peace of God living within us through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus told his disciples would come upon them. There's another place in John, in chapter 16. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So this Helper is here, right, coming into the world to convict the world of sin. And so that is what happens to each one of us when we are convicted of our sin. The Holy Spirit is at work in us to remind us that we are not of this world, that we are not of unrighteousness, but that we are made righteous through the blood of Christ. And it is for him that we live our lives. Are you living for Christ today? Are you living for God who has made you and given you life? Are you experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life by having by understanding that temptation has no power over you and that you can have victory in those moments? Do you understand that there is a helper there for you in your life as you look ahead and you think, who am I going to marry? Or where am I going to go to school? Or what work am I going to do? Or how, God, are you going to use me? I want to ask each one of you at some time in your life, perhaps even today, to ask God, God, what is your will for my life? What is your will for my life? And I give you my life now, and I truly, truly want to know what it is. And God will answer your prayer and show you. The Holy Spirit will come and tell you the things that God is saying. And he will lead you into the things that are righteous in life, and that you'll be brought to people who are in need of hearing good news that is proclaimed through you. So many wonderful things that the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And I already read, it was actually read in John 7, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And now this is said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. Rivers of living water. Another symbol that is used by God to express this life-giving flow of his blessing, of his power inside of us, working in each one of us. And so this day of Pentecost reminds us of the things that God gives to us in such wonderful ways to use us and to use the foundational things in life like water to point out his power and to teach us the deeper things that we are made for. Do you know that you are wonderfully and fearfully made? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means that you possess the purpose of God inside of you that you're born with, right? That you would know Him, be saved by Him, and then you would be used by Him. Are you using the time that you've been given for that purpose? Right? We were having a discussion on Wednesday night, and one of the sisters who joined talked about the brevity of life, that a woman stepped out of her car and fell into a manhole in New York City this week outside her car, and she died. So sudden can it be, right? And so we have to be aware of the brevity of our life here, and that we don't know what is going to happen. How are we using our time for God so that people will know of His goodness, right? And so we want to pray and ask God to give us that kind of wisdom, that we would consider each day that we are given as a gift and to use it for his glory. And that is what God gives us the Holy Spirit for on Pentecost. We turn to the book of Acts. Okay, we turn to the book of Acts. And it says here, Jesus was speaking to His disciples before He ascended. And He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Right? You will be My witnesses. Last 2 weeks ago in Revelation, study of Revelation on Wednesday night, two witnesses come forward, and they are killed for their faith. But they come boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the salvation that is needed for mankind, and they die for it. They are killed by this evil Antichrist. And then what happens after that is very, very important and very dramatic. God breathes life into them and they rise. You can go to chapter 10 of Revelation and read it. God comes into their lives. He breathes into them. In the book of Revelation, the last book, and what does that remind us of? Adam and Eve, right? God breathed life into them. It's the power of God that has brought about your life. It's not your mom and dad. They were used by God. They came, it was His plan to bring you forth from your mother's womb, but God breathed life into you. If a baby is not crying, they slap the behind of the baby in order so it would begin to cry. And it's breathing. It's not just crying, it's breathing. And that is exactly what happens, right? When we are coming into this world, God is breathing life into you so that you're crying out for Him. Amen? Not just babies crying for their mother to be fed. They're crying out with the greatness and the wonder that is in a human life that has been given by God to be used for the glory of God. That's why some denominations baptize babies, right? Because they believe at that moment they come into this world and they are to be blessed with the power of God. And then the church is going to bring that child up in the belief, and one day they will confess that Jesus is their Savior. But those people that believed in that kind of baptism were getting into that idea that we are fearfully and wonderfully made for a purpose at birth. And we get away from it in our lives. And there's this fight that goes on in our lives, in the spiritual world, over our souls. And we do not want to succumb to that. We go toward God and we recognize Him as being the one that gave us our lives. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with our time? How are we going to use it for God's glory? It's such a great thing. Such a wonderful purpose. Man, you feel like, what is my purpose? I was sharing with Yoa about this basketball player who was playing in the college March Madness. And they were interviewing him, and he said, "My purpose is not basketball." My purpose is not basketball. My purpose is to proclaim the gospel. It's a video on YouTube. What is your purpose? My purpose is not basketball. I love basketball. I love to play the game. I love to do the things that I'm doing. I love art. I love whatever it is that I'm in. Science, math, English, literature, whatever job that you're doing, the things that you might like to do. Our purpose needs to be Christ. Because it is deemed so. You have been given your life with that purpose. It is not for you to decide. Right? It's not for me to decide. But we come to the place where we say, I know my purpose now. And everybody's looking for a purpose. But the purpose that we're given leads to eternal life. It's not just limited to this time so that we can make a difference in this world. It is to proclaim Christ, and that is what Jesus was telling his disciples. You will receive the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses. You will tell people about me. We need to do it. That is what we have to do. And so we come to that place where that seed is sown in us, that is also in the Bible all over the place, and Jesus uses it in parables, that the Word of God takes seed in us and it grows in us throughout our life, and we use it for His glory. What are you doing in your life? It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. And we're going to get into that when we look into this here in these wonderful verses today. In the book of Corinthians. But before we go there, the Holy Spirit came down on that day of Pentecost. And Pentecost means 50. So 50 is 50 days after Passover. And that is the day that we remember it by. I was mentioning this last week, I think, but the main thing, it's not the name of Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost is what's important. And that was the coming, the fulfillment of Scripture, the fulfillment of the Father and Jesus promising it from the beginning of time that the Holy Spirit would come down. And it came down like flames and baptized people that were there with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in different tongues, but they all understood each other. And that was the amazing thing. And people were saying, are these people drunk or something? And they were poking fun at it. And people will challenge our faith. They will challenge us and say, oh, that's just a bunch of baloney. That's nothing. I can make that happen. Just like the time of the Pharaoh and the things that God brought against them, these plagues. And they said, I can imitate that. I can do that. I can do that. So people think that they can measure themselves against God. But they can't. And that's what we have to very generously and gently remind people of. That you think about it just for a moment. Can you really measure yourself with God? And so there was something that came suddenly down, and it changed people's lives forever. And it began the ministry of the gospel that we are now the recipients of in our life. That it was through the witnesses that took seriously the power of the Holy Spirit in them and spreading the gospel in that way. And that is what God calls us to. So I chose this one aspect of the Holy Spirit today to talk about. And it's really exciting and full of wisdom here. And I just want to read it again because it's brief. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so when we have gifts, just like today, the youth were standing here, and the young men were using their gift for the edification of us as a church body. And that's the way it's supposed to work in all of the working of the Holy Spirit among us. It is not for ourselves. It is meant for the edification and the empowerment of other people. And that thereby God is blessed. And it's in keeping with what he teaches in this section of Scripture here. Right? So there's diversity. Diversity, not uniformity, is a healthy church, someone wrote. Diversity, not uniformity, is a healthy church. a means that God encourages diversity to be used in our church, right? There are different ways that we all can serve and the things that we can do to serve God. But it comes with your heart, doesn't it? Doesn't it begin with the heart? It comes with how you look at God and how your walk with God is. Of course, there are times when we're all going to be going through some hard times and we wander, and I was a wanderer for many years. I believed in Jesus, but I still strayed away from him, so be encouraged by that. But don't do that. You know, you can hear that, but say, that doesn't give me freedom then to kind of wander too. What that means is don't wander if you can help it, because you're best when you're connected to God. And your life has that purpose. Form your life around God, and you will do well in this life and beyond. It's God's doing. It's one of the messages that come through here. It's the power of God. It's not the people standing there and who were blessed in that kind of way and started to speak in these different languages that are the center here. It is God's doing it. Right? It's the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. Not the gift of you or me. It is God's gift in his Spirit for us, and it's intended for his purposes. The people of Corinthians in that church started to get very boastful, and they got very big heads because they were speaking in tongues, and Paul came to them and said, that's not the way it's supposed to work. It's not about individuals or an individual gift. It's about the body of Christ. It's about you possessing a gift in order to be used to bless others and to bring glory to God. Right. Gordon Fee is a wonderful commentator, a member of the Pentecostal Church. But he's very sound in all of his thinking, and anyone can read his commentary with great blessing. He says everything, absolutely everything, gifts, persons, church, owes its origin to the one God who works all things in all of his people. Right? Everything, absolutely everything, gifts, persons, church, owes its origin to the one God who works all things in all of his people. All things, not individual. Right? For the common good. These are not, Paul teaches them, this is not an opportunity of boasting, but of service, ministry, right? Gifts, service, and ministry, all three of these are used to extol Christ's lordship in our lives, right? That's why we read in what Jesus was telling them, you're going to be my witnesses, right? And that people would be told how they can become a Christian through believing in Jesus and sharing that with them. I've been thinking about what I'm going to say on Monday to the fire department folks that are coming here, you know, and I really feel that I just need to tell them, you know, I have this opportunity with you here, and we really love you and appreciate you. And I do intend on making that clear, that we as a church do appreciate them and we want them to feel at home here. But the real reason for us having this opportunity is because of the life that we have in Christ. You know, please pray for me when I speak to them, that I won't be shy about, you know, when they all gather here, to use that moment for blessing them with the gospel, proclaiming the gospel so that they know what life is about, and to have those opportunities. And God brings us into different opportunities in our lives so that we can also share that message with them. It takes some courage, but we receive that through the Holy Spirit. And so we pray beforehand, and we ask God to use us and to be able to speak about these to people when we have the opportunity. That is one of the things that is being encouraged here. And so the Spirit gives consciousness of grace that is found in Jesus Christ. So he says there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then, so it begins with that, the Spirit. And then there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Right? And so there's different things that he lists here, but again, it comes to the focus of God himself, and he's using these things. That's why it's important in our church that we pray to God when we're doing something, a ministry of any kind, that we come together to pray for it. Right? That it begins in that kind of way. The Women of Grace began in our church. That fellowship began by prayer. It came as a result of sisters coming together and praying for God to bless that ministry to his glory. And that is the way it needs to be all the time in every ministry, in every meeting that we have, in every kind of situation where we come. We remind ourselves by praying to God that it's not about us and it's not our own power, but it's his. It's hard to do, but you can get into a routine if you only try. Right? And remind ourselves, or someone in the group says, hey, we didn't pray. Minister Sandy reminds me, I'm really blessed by her. If we go and we are going to go drive to visit someone and we're going to, you know, go to read the Bible with them or to share communion with them, she sits down in the car and says, should we pray? And it's a great thing to have someone like that, a sister in Christ, who will speak up and say, yeah, this is what we need to do before we take off. You would think that, you know, one would know that already, but we get so centered on what we want to do that we forget about praying. We forget about God. It's such a simple thing, isn't it? But we're so feeble in our weakness. But God says, I know. Just begin now. Do it today. And learn that lesson, and you understand the meaning of life. I'm going to come into your life and bless you, and I do really want to do that, but I need you to pray. I feel so inadequate. But that's the way it is. You know, we come before God, and we're not trying to teach everybody something. We want to be touched by the Spirit in some way. It's not a matter of how much you know or I know. It's actually more about what I don't know. And maybe what you don't know that is going to bring the Spirit into play. You know, when we have a plan in our mind of what we're going to do, and then we just go to God and say, God, help me in this way, but then we just go ahead with our plan without listening to him, you know, we kind of lose the point. So we have to put ourself and our individual gifts in our own minds aside, and actually, God may make us aware of a gift that we weren't even aware of before. It's wonderful. That's the way the Spirit works, you know. I want to share something with you that a saint, actually, many years ago, in Egypt, this Athanasius, it was a man who gave a lot of thought to this section of Scripture. And let me just turn to that here. Oh, here, okay. So he was looking at the section here where it talks about how the same Spirit, varieties of service, but the same Lord, varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them in all and everyone. And he was saying that this is a really great example of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together. So let me read you just a portion of what he said. He says, Paul views the Father as the source of spiritual gifts from God, the Son, Christ, as their mediator, through Christ as Lord, to be activated by the agency of the Holy Spirit. So it's like beginning with what it says here, the Spirit, right, the varieties of service, but the same Lord, the variety of activities, but the same God. But he really felt like this was speaking to him about the Holy Spirit all working together in that kind of a way. It's interesting that he would say that this gift, this spiritual gift, is activated by the agency of the Holy Spirit. So you see the way these people think about these things. They're considering the Word of God. They're studying and they're pondering. What does that mean? And they definitely are searching God, you know, in his heart and spirit, to ask for these to be made plain to him. And we may have different views on this, or maybe we didn't think of it that way before, but we can be blessed by it. And this guy lived how many years ago? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and we're reading this today and blessed by it. right? And so we're connected through God in this kind of a way, right? Only as believers share the Spirit with one another, right, can they experience the love of the Father and the grace of the Son. That's what he felt about this. I think that's quite wonderful, you know? When believers share the Spirit can they experience the love of the Father and the grace of the Son. And so we want to share the Spirit with one another. You guys are young, you know, and you can bless people with sharing the Spirit with me. You know, you can help me in my life as a pastor, you know. You guys can just give me a perspective in your life on what's going on, and we can see that going on, and there's other people of different age groups, and no matter what it is, but we all share the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit doing in your life? How can we maybe lift someone up who is struggling with that? You know, we can definitely pray for the Spirit to come down in power, and that definitely can happen. And I believe that it will. But there's also this body here that Paul is bringing out to the Corinthians that they lost sight of. It's about me, and I have a superior gift than yours. And look at me. And he comes into that situation, as he should, and anyone should who's a leader of the church, and say, you're off base here. I see it. It's not about boasting and trying to attract attention to what you can do. It's sharing the gift that you've been given with other people to be edified and to strengthen their walk with Christ. You know, that's a beautiful thing. And when I ponder the history of church, you know, in my life again, I mentioned this a couple times already, and to see how I was blessed by people sharing the Spirit with me. Susan's sitting there, she's blessed me with sharing things that are on her mind and heart. Alfred, you know, any of you here that are sitting here today, you know, we have this connection with one another. But you know, a lot of times Satan gets in there and he tempts us away from it. He tempts us away from it. He wants to get in. It bothers him when there's the same Spirit, right? When there's this oneness and in the body of Christ. And we see it happen many times, sadly, in churches that people break apart because of that. But if we're on top of it and we're praying in the Spirit and we're receiving the Spirit and we're living in the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit and remaining in the Spirit, then we are going to have greater success against that happening. And that's a wonderful thing. So we can see in the scripture here the emphasis that Paul is going for. He then goes and starts to explain some of the gifts that are of the Spirit. But he really is going more for the overall lesson for the church there, to point out where they went astray. You know, they have to come back to this very humble looking at themselves and saying, you know, who am I? And where am I really going to get the power? It's not from myself, it's through God and the Spirit. In the midst of our talking with people about Bible verses and sharing these things, sometimes we can feel like, I don't want to be preaching. I don't want to use words from God in the Bible to, you know, go at this person. Even though the Word of God is a really powerful thing and it can have that effect, but the Spirit working in us and the grace of Christ at work in us and the love of the Father at work in us, right? You know, all of those things working together cause us to think of things given to us by the Spirit that are going to come in a way that the person will be able to see without being threatened the power of God and the immense love that He has for them. And so when we pray, we're not just saying, I pray, Lord, when I tell this person this verse, that it's going to, you know, reach them, although that could happen. We're praying for God to work in a way that He desires through me, so that person will know God is real, and he won't be offended, and he will want God even more than he did before. Or maybe for the first time. When we're singing up on stage, we, you know, I was a singer for many years, and there's these moments where you forget something. You ever had that happen? Like, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, this kind of a, and it's amazing how somehow people are able to bring it all together. You know, they make something up, or it even the vulnerability in that moment causes something special to happen that isn't by the script. You know, it's like you break away from the script and you start to do something and you're going in a different way than expected, and all the other people that are on stage with you are like, okay, what are we going to do here? Because he's not saying the lines, and you know, you have to do something. And so you do. But I really believe, because we are a creation of God, even those moments can remind us how God takes situations where we're like, this is not following the script. Amen? This is not following the script. It's not supposed to be this way. I had it all. I thought God told me it was going to be this way, you know, and now it's going this way, in this kind of way, and I didn't expect that. In those moments, we need to be very attentive to what God, the Spirit, is doing. That he takes those moments and he's saying, it isn't always going to be what you think, because I'm the one in control of all these things, and it's for good. And so in those moments where you feel like you're falling, I've got you. And I'm going to bring fruit from it. Fruit of the Spirit, man. Fruit of the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and does something like at Pentecost, where suddenly, boom, lives were changed forever. The Holy Spirit came down in power. And they had no control over it. No control over what they could say. And I just want to share that with you. Share the Spirit with you. From my own life, in these experiences where we think like, oh, I don't got anything going here. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is not following the way I had planned, and all these different things. Trust God. Trust the Spirit to work in you. Receive the Spirit inside of you. And stand back and watch all the things that happen that bless people with. A man is angry at his wife, and he's just so sick of hearing all these different things, and all this stuff is going on. Or the wife is so tired of things that are going on the way that she, and then the Spirit comes into a situation, and they're suddenly filled with this sense of something greater than themselves. And instead of saying something like they normally do that will hurt and offend the person they love, they change it and they say something that is going to edify them and bring them up. A kid goes to school and he thinks, oh, I'm going to do this, and this is where I'm going to go in my life. And then suddenly something changes, right? And God says, no, I want you to leave that school. I want you to go to another one. And you're thinking, wait, what am I going to do? Why do I have to do that? And God is saying, follow me. I had that plan for you there, but now it's shifted because this is going to be better for your life. A person loses their job. They've been working at a place for years and years and years, and they think, what am I going to do with my life? And God is saying, I am here for you. Come to me and seek my wisdom, and I will show you that there is something there. It's not just like this thing that is suddenly for you. For me, it's always been there. But for you, it's going to be sudden, but I am going to show power in that moment when you put your hand in mine, and I lead you through your life, through that time. And maybe, just maybe, the job is getting in the way of you going to someone who needs help. When I was working at AT&T and IBM for like, I don't know, 7 years, at the end of the time there, I was really, I enjoyed it, even though I was really, you know, like a novice in the field. But I knew that I wasn't to be there any longer. I knew, because God was saying to me, I want you to minister to people about Jesus Christ. And I needed to be undivided attention. And I went I just quit my job. My wife's encouraged it. She said, just leave that job. You can. God will help you. And he did. He led me into seminary. That isn't for everybody. That isn't the road for everyone. But what I'm saying to you is that there are different things that God does in our lives, and he comes in and he changes it around because he loves you. Because he knows what's best for you. He knows what he needs you to do for him. He knows the purpose for which you are born. It is to give glory to his name. And when we grasp that, we are going to be brought to a different level of living. And we will be able to see the importance of sharing the Spirit with other people that leads to Jesus Christ as Lord. That they're saved from their sins and they're washed away and they're brought up from the grave and they're given eternal life. And that is what God does for us in all of these things. And so we read this and these words are all true and they're power-filled, but God means for them to be lived out. So please pray for God to do that. Pray for God to speak to you. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit, to guide you with his Spirit, and to lead you where you need to go, and he will do it. Just ask him. Let's pray.